Hey everyone, welcome to another 10K Saturday. This week, Lulu speaks with Twitch streamer and teen Call of Duty dominator, Matt Hobbs, who hasn't just been gaming online, but creating a safe space for conversations around mental health. Also, over at The Daily Happy, we've been chatting a lot about rentalcars.com, which is the best resource for your next rental car. Renting a car for a socially distanced getaway is super easy, and you can get a price match guarantee by visiting 10kdollarday.com/rentalcars. Plus, they'll know we sent you. Now, get ready to meet Matt Hobbs and find out what cocktail he'll be making ASAP. And Lulu is pretty excited about it. Here we go.
And now, it's 10K Saturday with Allison and Lulu.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of 10K Saturday. It is a Saturday, and you haven't heard my voice for a while because I didn't get the rest of the episodes out in time, so they've been all of Allison's interviews. But today, I'm super excited to have someone with us. I'm going to introduce him in just a second. But you are here for the Saturday episode. It's an interview. It's a bonus feature. It's always something exciting. We're going to get those 10K5 questions that everyone's waiting for. But if you're looking in the feed for the first time and you're going, wait, what are these other episodes? That's our main episode, because here at 10K Dollar Day, we are a comedy podcast about imaginary luxury travel. So every Wednesday, you hear both Allison Burns and I pick a location somewhere in the world. We spend a fake $10,000 and then we tell each other about it. And Allison always makes me laugh. So please join us for those. You can also join us on our other podcast. It's called The Daily Happy. That is a 10-minute wake you up, wind you down kind of podcast. A lot of people use it right in the morning on the drive to work, and other people use it, I don't know, who knows, on their 10-minute walk around the neighborhood. How about that? That sounds like a good time to use it. But this is 10K Dollar Day, the 10K Saturday, and we have someone very special with us. He's a singer. He's a streamer. What does that mean? I don't know. We're going to find out about it. And he's a member of the Choir of Man. It is Matt Hobbs. Hi, Matt.
Hi, mate. How you doing?
I'm good. We just had a nice little 20-minute catch-up because I haven't spoken to Matt in quite a long time. And when I met you, Matt, I met you as a singer, performer, actor. We were working on a show together, the Choir of Man in Florida, before you went off on a ship. And you just performed, like, in real life in front of real people in 2021.
Craziness. Pure craziness.
Crazy. You were in Australia?
That's right, yeah. In Adelaide in 2021. And there were just the most minimum restrictions you can ever imagine. Like, we had to wear masks on stage. But apart from that, please go ahead. 750 people in the audience, not a problem. It's crazy.
But you were masked on stage. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so we had to come on while we were handing out the beers with masks on. And we had like a little, you know, like those little pizza oven things. We had like a 5-foot long mini beer holder thingy-majig.
And like a peel.
A
pizza peel?
I think so. I'm going to go with yes.
Did it look like you were asking for money at church?
Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes,
yeah. A long-handled
yeah,
pizza.
Yeah, long-handled.
We would call that pizza peel.
Okay, pizza peel. So beer peel. It was a beer peel. And the boys, we all had to wear masks. And then when the pre-show started, we could take them off and sing without masks on.
So the actual show, it was just for the handing out, going to the audience. I was confused. Okay,
imagine.
Got it. So I just want to take people back, because if they don't come from the performing world, they may be like, wait, you went to Australia and did what? So Australia is mostly open, like open, right?
Yeah.
They're done because they have no borders. They were like, we'll just close and figure it out. And then you live in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
What was the process of quarantining? Like, what was that process going to Australia?
So we had to quarantine for a week before rehearsal started in the UK. As far as I'm probably getting all this wrong because it's a massive blur now, but as far as I can recall, we had a week's quarantine before the week's rehearsal in Peterborough in the UK. Did a week's rehearsal as like a bubble, then flew out to Australia, arrived at the airport in Adelaide, got like shuttled onto a bus, taken straight to a hotel, quarantined for 2 weeks there. No, not allowed out your room at any point for any reason whatsoever, unless it was like a fire. And then after that, you're free to roam around, go to bars, have drinks, and do what you want.
Okay, so you lived this incredible like 2019 life for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And let's talk about coming back, because you came back into lockdown knowing that lockdown was back in front of you. So what kind of headspace is that, and what is it like coming back?
So coming back, you mean this time around, the most recent
one?
It was strange. It was very strange because, like, mentally, I had to take preparation time when I got there. Like, even coming out of quarantine in Adelaide, all the boys were there, and my instincts were going, hug the boys, you haven't seen them in ages. But my body was going, oh, you no, physical contact, don't be stupid, you're going to die. So, like,
you're going to die.
So it was like a constant battle between the, like, residual thoughts of going, you cannot have physical contact, and you need physical contact as a human being. So it was weird. And then, like, I'd say 2 or 3 weeks into the contract, it was 2 months in total, I started going, we can. Because, like, people would shake my hand. Like, we had a technician called Luke who was amazing, by the way.
Oh, wait, you mean in Australia?
Oh, you're talking about the UK?
That's interesting too, because what you're talking about, my sister just sent me a graphic today that said if you're fully vaccinated, you can hang out with other fully vaccinated people indoors now.
I heard bits and bobs about this. I wasn't sure.
Like, I know. Well, that's the thing. She sent it to me from the CDC, and I texted her back, and I was like, I said, okay, that still feels crazy. Like, I understand, and now I get it, because my whole thing has been, I'm going to follow the science. So if the scientists are telling me I can now sit in a room, I will trust that.
Mm.
But it's going to take me emotionally a while to actually feel it.
For sure.
That I can sit in a room without a mask on around people and not worry about getting them sick or me bringing home something or something. So that adjustment is what you're talking about. I think we're all kind of feeling that a little bit as we get vaccinated and come back into the world. You know, I had to run away from a person at a party the other day because she tried to hug me and I was very upset about it. true. But when you came back into lockdown, that's what I'm really wondering, because I know that you've also been doing a lot of work and kind of analysis of mental health and all that kind of stuff. And I want to get to talking to that. And so I'm wondering, where's your headspace coming from somewhere that's open, knowing that something is closed? Because that's an experience that we all have not had because we were surprised by lockdown. I don't know what it's like to be living full open and know you have to go back into it.
It was such a strange feeling because Adelaide is actually, I'm going to say, my favorite place in the world that I've ever been to. It is just sublime. The people are sublime, the weather, the atmosphere, everything about it. But I also miss my fiance so much, I can't even describe into words. And then I also, which we'll probably get to in a bit, my streaming stuff was back here. So I had loads of things to come back to that I was looking forward to. And I was aware that when I landed in, I also had to quarantine for 10 days. So it, mentally, that even though I think I was quite lucky in a way that I had these things, I was like, I now get to spend 10 full days with my fiance. Like, I didn't really freak out at the prospect of having to stay in. One, because I'm a massive introvert and I love my house. And two, because in said house is my computer and my fiance. So it wasn't as bad as I was expecting. I can't imagine if people like live by themselves or anything like that. I cannot imagine going from somewhere like that and coming back into isolation again. It must be so hard.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that I love about the show that we met doing, which is Choir of Man, is we do talk a lot about mental health in the rehearsal room, in the run of the show. You know, you have a group of people doing a show and traveling around together, which always feels like you're getting each other through something, no matter what the show is. And I know that you have been doing a lot of think work in this space. Is it something that people want to talk about, that other men particularly want to talk about with you? Or is that still a weird subject? Does it still feel weird?
I've physically seen the transition into it not being weird. From it being weird to not becoming weird, which is just emotionally amazing. For example, today I was literally having a driving lesson because, I'm 30 years old and I don't drive yet. I was having my driving lesson.
I'm so glad that came out. That just came out. I'm so glad.
I know. As it came out, I was like, oh, no. Oh, God. Anyway, that's in the ethos now. You're welcome, okay. Internet. So I was with my driving instructor, and he's turning 50 soon, and I'm very open about the fact that I have anxiety, and it used to be a lot worse than it is now. I've kind of got a big grip on it, but only a couple of things really trigger it, and one of them seems to be driving lessons. So I was just very open with him at the beginning, and one, I think that shows the progression in me being able to say that, and two, he then opened up to me about him having counseling. So I was like,
love that.
Imagine a 50-year-old man 10 years ago speaking to a 30-year-old bloke on a driving lesson about him having counselling. It just would not happen.
So I love that.
I've seen the change, and I actually started volunteering for a group called Men Unite, M-E-N Unite, on Facebook in 2018. When was it? It was just before I went to Australia for the first time. So yeah, it'd be the end of 2019, maybe. I'm so confused with dates. Either way, I've been doing
we've lost a year and a half. No one knows. Like, it doesn't feel right. We don't know.
I'm so bad with dates anyway, let alone before this lost year. So yeah, anyway, I've been doing it for a while now, and it was during the time in Australia, not this year, but the year before. And we've seen a shift. We've got 13,500 members on the group, and I'm lucky to say that I'm one of the admins on the group, and it started off with a lot of blokes being like, hi, you know, how you doing, and kind of wanting someone to poke the bears, wanting someone to come out and go, are you okay, mate? And now what's beautiful is the question, how you doing, mate? People answer honestly. People don't pretend they're not okay. And it's amazing. It's amazing that that's happening now.
Oh, that's so interesting. Mm. You know what? I think I can identify that pattern in myself with the how you doing thing that you're talking about. But it's funny because I'm also an introvert like you. And so while I want to answer honestly, I don't actually want to have a conversation sometimes.
It's because it can hurt, though, to be quite frank. It can hurt to say, no, I'm not okay, because you're putting yourself in such a vulnerable position. As soon as you say, you know what, no, I'm not doing okay, that opens the massive book of, here are my problems. And you don't want to impose them on anyone. You feel guilty.
Right.
Me personally, anyway, I feel guilty for imposing it.
Well, because they're asking as a formality, right? Mm. But then you hear yourself lie back over and over again, I'm fine. And that's not healthy for you. So then you decide, oh, I should be honest. And then you do it once. And then the whole conversation changes. And you're like, oh no, we talked about my problems for like 30 minutes. And I don't know how I feel about that. But now I deflect it. So this may not be the most healthy thing. You tell me, you work more in this space. Ask me how I'm doing and I'll answer you how I answer now.
Okay. How you doing, Lulu?
How are any of us doing? How are you?
Yes. Oh my God. Deflecting 101. Boom. Coming from the non-trained counselor over here. Deflecting 101.
I know, right? Like, if somebody doesn't answer great, like if you, with the word great, you know, how are you? And they say something that is deflecting, or they say something that is an honest no, what is a helpful response to that? And is there a response that I think is helpful that actually isn't?
The worst thing you can do is say, oh, I'm sure it'll be fine. People never mean that maliciously, but with mental health problems, saying, nah, you're gonna be fine, mate, it might seem on the outside a really lovely thing to do, but it just makes you think that your feelings aren't worthy of a conversation. I took a mental health first aid course, which obviously isn't, you know, the most qualified thing in the world, but you pick up a couple of things from it. I took that 7-8 months ago. It's all about asking, you know, if they want to elaborate, you can say, what's going on, man? Like, what's happening? Like, and if they say, it doesn't matter. If you open the space and say, well, if it is something you want to talk about at any point, I'm here. Like, just the action of saying, I'm here if you need me, is so powerful. And I don't mind saying with you, like, I had counseling during this lockdown. I did 8 sessions, I think, in total, just to do with social anxiety and stuff like that. And I was very much exactly what you were doing, deflect, because it's so much easier. No, tell me about you. How are you doing? Like, if someone asked me how I was, that was my immediate response. No, how are you doing? But addressing feelings is just so important. And you learn from the sessions that I've had and from the first aid course, like what is a good and what is a bad thing to do to someone who's got like mental health problems, for sure.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. What should people look for in a relationship with their therapist, do you think?
I think it is very individual. For me, I needed someone who was going to be a normal human being and not a scientist, not someone who was doing their job. Here's the perfect counselor for me, who was Sarah, the lovely, lovely Sarah, who was actually recommended to me by Men Unite, which was lovely. She answered the Zoom call, because obviously we were in lockdown. Answered the Zoom call. She had a cat on her lap. She was wearing a dressing gown on the edge of her bed. And I was like, we're going to get on.
That's hilarious.
It removed all the formality of it. My anxiety went immediately. She went, oh, I'm so sorry about this cat. I nearly dropped her the expletive that she dropped in. But no, she's, I'm so sorry about this cat. And I was like, it's no problem. I was like, oh, God. And it put me at ease. So I think it's very, very individual. But for me, I needed someone who's going to be a human being and make my feelings justified. Like when I said that the whole reason for me of not seeing someone for 29 years or however long it's been since I've had social anxiety was that I didn't think my feelings were worthy of talking about, in terms of like, not that I didn't think I was worthy, I just didn't think it was important enough. I just thought like, they're small issues. People have really horrible suicidal thoughts. Like why am I going to a counselor? I've never had suicidal thoughts. You nipping stuff in the bud is important. It's important. And knowing that if you have a problem, you can talk about it.
Yeah, I think what you just said is interesting. You're like, it's almost like people who won't go to the hospital unless they need to go to the emergency room, but don't do the preventative care.
Perfect. Spot on.
And I feel like therapy is very preventative, could be very preventative if you have the right relationship. I asked about the therapist because the type of therapist, only because I know that when I started going to therapy, the first therapist I went to, I didn't have the right energy with. It just felt like, just didn't feel right. And it was really hard to convince myself to try another therapist, because just trying that first one felt like such a success to me. And then when I didn't click with her, and somebody else was like, oh, you just have to find the right one. I was like, oh, no, I can't. I can't even do that when I date. Like, there's just no, and then you pay every time? You got to be kidding me. And luckily, the second one I found, I actually really enjoyed. But in the pandemic, I started a new round of therapy. And for the first time, I did it online as well. And it let you kind of pick certain traits. I used BetterHelp. Traits in terms of background.
That's amazing.
Do you want a therapist of color? Do you want a therapist older or younger than you? Do you want a therapist who is inclusive of LGBTQIA issues? Like, just things like that, which was really nice. And so for the first time, I said, well, what experience would be different if I picked a therapist of color, if I asked for one? And we were talking through some stuff, and she was like, well, you probably grew up in a family. Did you grow up in a family that had this kind of social structure? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, well, because she was Indian. She goes, that's very common in my culture too. So here's some of the things, you know, because like people who grew up in families like mine, we have a lot of age deference, you know, like the elder person, regardless of whether they are the most responsible or whatever, is always going to be the person that's responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's a lot of social structure, things like that. And she was able to help me identify, simply because she came from a similar background.
That's very, very interesting.
Right? And I also had really successful therapy with a person that was not in my background, right? So like, I'm not saying you can't, but it was just a cool perspective that I was not.
Incredibly useful as well.
Yeah, it was really useful. And it was cool. Like, I could see myself having a lot of therapists with different perspectives, creating a team, really, a mental health team.
Yes.
For myself. Okay, we're going to switch over real fast. In fact, we're going to twitch over.
Oh, I love it.
You like that?
I love every part of that. I'm feeling it.
You're welcome. So you've got this new thing going. You're a streamer, a gaming streamer. So you are the first Twitcher ever to be on 10K Saturday. So I'm going to ask you, Matthew, because we have a lot of people right now in their cars going, his what? Tell us about Twitch. Tell us about what's happening on there other than gaming. In my head, it's like a lot of people go on there and game, but I think it's a bigger deal than that. So tell us about Twitch.
Well, Twitch is a streaming platform. And as you said, people are going to be like, I still don't know what that means, which is absolutely fine because I've spent like the past 9 months telling my dad what Twitch is and he still doesn't understand. So I'm going to try and do a better job than I've been doing with my dad. So streaming on Twitch is, it can be gaming, it can be music, it can be chatting, it can be anything. It is just a place where you build a community. Like the way I go in is I play a game called Call of Duty Warzone, but I want to concentrate on mental health. So I multitask the two. So what I find is that actually gamers who just want to watch Warzone come in and chat about Warzone. But I'd say nearly all of the people who have come in just from the Warzone tag, not the mental health tag, have ended up talking about their mental health. And I think that actually gives them license to do it because they might not want to. Who is going to go ahead and go on Twitch, a streaming platform that's known for gaming and search primarily for mental health, unless you want to watch a Just Chatting stream, which is absolutely fine, but no one's going to click on a Warzone stream to talk about mental health. But if you go in there and see that it's actually a safe space to talk about mental health, suddenly people open up. And it's a place where you form communities of people, and that's what I see it as at the moment.
That's really beautiful.
It's been life-changing for me.
Yeah, that's great. And you found a community that wants to talk about these issues that you're so passionate about and you're helping people. I think that's really interesting how you're doing it while they game. That makes so much sense because that's when the most intimate conversations can happen between friends, is when you're occupied doing something else.
Exactly. I agree entirely. And I think that's why people open up, because I'm not staring down a lens being like, so tell me how you feel. And people feel like, great, I'm good. And they just don't want to talk about it. Of course they don't. But if I'm there, like, I don't know, shooting some people on Warzone and someone said, oh, I had a rough day today, I'd in my head give it full attention, but I'd be like, oh, what's going on, man? Like, we're having a chat down the pub. We're having a relaxed conversation. I'm not sitting down and interviewing you. And that's why I think people feel that they can open up a bit more.
Brilliant. Was that your intention?
My intention, weirdly, so you know I said I volunteer for Men Unite, that's kind of taken a backseat because of this, and my intention was that, here comes the geeky fact number one. When I was 18, before I left for drama school, I spent a week as number one in the world at Call of Duty.
At what?
I was not... Lulu, don't ruin my moment. I had a dramatic pause in there and everything.
You did. I just literally don't know what you were number one at. I'm so impressed at this amazing achievement that you were the best in the world at. I just don't know what it is.
So Call of Duty is like a big shooting franchise. I'd argue the biggest in the world. Call of Duty.
Wait a minute.
Is.
You were number one. How do you get ranked? Is this like in the movies with the Nintendo movies where you all go to a conference and you play on a big screen like Fred Savage?
No.
Oh man, no. I was like, did you get the Nintendo glove? Like, tell me more.
No, they do LAN tournaments. It's a massive thing actually. But when I was doing it, which was what, 12 years ago, massive gag by the way, 12 years. I was playing a game called Black Ops 2, and it was Call of Duty Black Ops 2, and I played a game mode called Domination, and I was number one in the world at that for a week. And it went off score per minute. So the better you were per minute, the higher up the ranking you went.
Score per minute?
Yeah. So if you had a good game.
Does it give you anxiety?
The thing is, I never really looked at it. It's not something that I cared about, the score per minute. I was like, oh, I'm having some good games at the moment. I'm playing well. I looked and I was like 54th, and I was like, out of 2 million, I was like, this is insane. So then I tried even harder, and I went, oh my God, I'm number one. I need to take a photo of this, which I now cannot find, which is very convenient for my story.
No.
I know, it's on a BlackBerry or something like that, so it wasn't going to be survive.
It's on a BlackBerry. Oh my God.
Yeah, I think it was. But no, so then I went in thinking, 12 years later, I'm going to be the absolute Don of Call of Duty. I'm not. I'm above average. I'm quite good. I do all right, but there are people who are just so unfathomably good. So very quickly, I realized that wasn't going to be my thing. But it wasn't a mental decision for me to go, I'm going to talk about mental health. I just from the very beginning had the mental health tag. So you know, like hashtags on Twitter and Instagram and stuff. You can do that on Twitch, but you have it as tags. So I have mental health, competitive gaming, Warzone, and Battle Royale, I think it is. So I've had that since the beginning because I wanted to, you know, create a safe space if people want to talk. But it turned into a community of people who feel comfortable sharing stuff. So that absolutely was not my intention from the start, but I'm so glad of where it's become. So glad.
Oh, that's really, really awesome. I love that so much. If people are on Twitch, how can they find you?
So they just type in the top search bar, Pro Bear, and I'll explain the name of that in a minute.
Please do.
I will explain. It's very stagey. So Probehaer, so like Bear, but with an H between the B and the E. But yeah, I primarily stream on Twitch, but I have like a Facebook page and stuff like that. That's where I kind of like show my stuff off. But yeah, the context of the name is my third year at drama school, we did a show called Little Women. And I was just playing Xbox casually in the house, you know, after drama school, whatever. And I needed a name for my new Xbox account. And my old one was Frantic Sponge, because I was part of a esports team called Frantic, Team Frantic. So, and they said I took a lot of bullets, so Frantic Sponge. But, like, very funny. I'm so witty. And then my mate went, what about Pro Bear? And I was like, why? And he said, well, your character's called Professor Bear in Little Women. So yeah. Pro Bear. I was like, Oh my God, yeah, I'm keeping it. Then when I came back to the whole Twitch situation, well, not came back to it, when I discovered it, I thought, well, I mean, it's unique, isn't it? I'll keep it. Why not? And then it's just become a thing. I've now got it written on my wall behind me.
Oh my God. Wait, did you get the, let's talk about this space. Did you get the neon sign?
I have got a neon sign. I'm looking at a neon sign right now with Probo on it. My missus ordered that from the Ukraine for me, which is amazing. I've got my you can't see this right now, Lulu, but I've got my logo on like a wall sticker. It's about, mm-hmm. I don't know, two feet by 2 feet.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly. I've been trying to convince my co-host Allison that we need neon signs. We don't need them.
Yes,
we
you
don't
need them.
Video stream anything, but I really want my initials on a neon sign.
Do it. Sign. Do it. I've got a guy. I've got a guy. Don't worry.
Okay, good. I'll have it shipped over from Ukraine.
What was the question?
Oh, I don't know. I was just so impressed by your setup because I've known you before twitching.
Of course,
streaming.
Yeah.
So I love this. Like, I have a sign and a logo and a...
Thanks.
In a space.
When I first started, I was sat in my living room. My laptop was balanced on a piano stool and I was playing on the 60-inch TV in the lounge. So it didn't look particularly enticing for people to come in and watch and listen. But now I'm so lucky to say, like, I've got my computer that I bought for this. I've got two monitors. I've got my ring light, got my microphone. I'm incredibly lucky to say that I gradually, as I went through the Twitch journey, I upgraded bit by bit. Things that I could afford and I didn't oversplash, but it's got to the stage now where I like to think it gives an impression when people come in that it looks like I know what I'm doing, even if I don't.
All right, we're going to move into our 10K 5. I know people are going to be super excited. Matt has chosen to get these on the fly.
I'm really scared.
No. They're just fun questions. Your answer could be different tomorrow, Matt, because they are literally just icebreakers.
I'm ready.
They're not important. We're just going to see what happens. So first, Matt Hobbs, what's your obsession today?
Fizzy water.
Oh, like a sparkling water.
Carbonated water. I've just bought a SodaStream.
Or not flavored.
Not flavored. I just like fizz.
Me too.
I used to be Coke Zero addict and I realized actually it was just the fizz that I enjoyed. So now carbonated water. Love it.
So you're making your own carbonated water at your house?
Yeah, we've got a SodaStream as part of my 30th birthday. So yeah, I go down while Claire's teaching. I sneak around the back of her laptop and very quietly carbonate my water.
Are you I don't remember. Do you drink cocktails? Do you drink alcohol?
Oh, yes, I drink alcohol, yeah.
Have you yet figured out that gin in fizzy water with just a little lime is like the best summer cocktail? And now you have all the things in your house to do it?
I wish you could see my face because my eyebrows went so far up my forehead.
It's my favorite. You just put like half your glass is ice. Then you squeeze a lemon wedge all over the ice and then you fill the rest of it. Not the rest of it. Then you, you put soda water in and then you put gin.
It's such an insight into your life right now. Such an insight.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I'm just too lazy to actually be a good cocktail person. So I like drinks that the ratios aren't that important.
Yeah, sure.
Because I'm not good at, I'm not going to measure. I don't measure things. I cook. I don't bake. I don't like to measure. Okay. Number two, what's on your wish list right now?
Oh my goodness. A new monitor.
Do you have one in mind?
I have. It is very, very greedy of me because I have one that's very, very good, but I would also like one to match it because the other one is slightly smaller and it stresses me out.
Oh, so you want to symmetry up your...
Yeah.
Oh, who can...
I do.
Listen, you already told everyone you have anxiety, so if that's going to put you in a better place, I think you should get the monitor.
Oh, I'm going to tell Claire now. I'm going downstairs right now to tell her. I'm getting the monitor.
She's going to really love meeting me for the first time. She'll be like, great, cool, thanks. Remember when you bought the monitor for us? Yeah. Oh, yeah, right.
Quick aside on that, I am going to give her a big shout out here because every part of this along the way, she's been like, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Not once has she gone, are you sure you need that? Every time she's like, well, it's in the basket now, so you got to buy it. So that's my quick shout out to my beautiful fiance.
Support. I know, I love that.
Crazy, crazy support. Like, even, like almost too good to be true. Like, what do you want from me kind of thing? Like, what can I buy you in return? Like, but there's nothing. There's no hidden agenda. Just wants me to be happy. What a beaut.
Well, we should all be so lucky to have someone in our house that just wants us to be happy.
I know.
For sure.
It's the dream.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, you better maybe make her dinner tonight, maybe then.
Yeah.
Because she's not going to hear this until this weekend. True. So the thanks that you just put out there. Yeah, make her dinner.
I will.
Yeah, great. Make her a cup of tea right after this. I don't know what time it is where you are. So what's that? Wish list? Oh, great. So number three, what would you do right now if you had an extra $10,000 to spend on yourself?
Oh, it's selfishly.
Yeah.
Oh, God. What a cool question. I would upgrade this is all very technical. I'd upgrade my computer. I would upgrade my instruments, upgrade my bass guitar. I would get an upgraded piano as well, for sure. It's all very house-based. As you heard, I'm very, very house-based.
You want to be home. I love it.
I love home. I love it. I love home. Claire's literally like, can we go for a walk? I'm like, why? Why?
We're already home. Yeah, why would we go out where we have to come back home?
The last time we went for a walk together, it was literally snowing in like, March. It's literally like blowing a force. And I was like, see, outside is wrong. And then we went back outside. I won.
Oh my God. Outside is wrong. I want you to put that on your Twitch wall.
Outside
is wrong.
2K21. Have I got anything else? Funny. Have I got anything else? I think that's it, you know. That was a very straightforward and boring answer, but I'd upgrade what I currently have and I think I know the best thing. We want a golden retriever. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you should get the golden retriever.
We're saving.
Oh, they're so friendly.
They're just the
best.
And
they're
dogs.
So smart.
So
and
smart.
They are someone in your house that just wants to make you happy.
Yes. See, I'm going to get Claire in dog form.
See,
there you go. Don't tell her I said that.
No. I won't. Yeah. You really will have to make her tea after
absolutely.
This.
Oh, God.
Or one of those gin soda stream.
I'm genuinely going to make that.
Okay, next question. If you had $10,000 to give away, how would you do it right now?
I would give it to the Many Night Charity. I can honestly say, hand on heart, my brain immediately went there because they offer free counseling sessions to people who can't afford it. And I cannot even fathom how much that would change people's lives. Like we raised just under £1,000, which is what, like $1,400, I think?
Yeah, yeah.
at the last Choir of Man show. And
that, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. The last, we streamed it on Twitch, the last show.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we streamed the last show. And obviously there's no copyright issues because it was all Jack and
yeah.
his arrangements. So yeah, we played that. We raised 500 and something quid. And then the lovely, lovely producer, the Choir Man, said, well, whatever you raise, we'll double it. So we I know, crazy, right?
In a year that they haven't had any revenue.
I know.
Let's be clear.
I know.
That's such a generous, beautiful statement from them.
So yeah. I would honestly give it to the charity because it would, I think, literally save lives. So yeah, that would be my giveaway.
If there's somebody listening to this who is like, oh, man, I wish I'd made that leap to therapy or whatever that is. If this is like the moment, right, where they're going to make the turn, what do you think is the easiest, most comfortable way for them to start that journey?
It's never easy. It's never easy. All I can tell you is making the plunge to contact someone about my mental health is the best thing I've ever done for my life. And that is not an exaggeration. That is how important it was. My being, my persona, I'm a different person entirely. I am the way I describe myself compared to what I was, I was running on empty constantly. I was constantly, my social battery was low. It was never fully charged. And now I have the answers I needed. I have the reasons. I have the ways to deal with it. My battery is almost always full. And you can just be the best person that you want to be. You know, like if you're trying to motivate yourself and I'm going to be the best version of myself today, then if you're having any problems at all in social interactions, maybe you're feeling quite down some days, speak to someone. I cannot tell you how important it is. It might not have the dramatic effect that it's had on me, but it will definitely improve your life. Like it's tough to speak about the things that have been a problem, or things that you don't even know have been a problem. Like you might not even know that you've had any problems, and it will open a can of worms that could be really, really hard to listen to. But the end product is always better. So I would reach out to maybe someone you know who's had it before, or either that way, just do your research and have a little look around, see if you can have a pre-interview with someone. There's a lot of ways in. If not, it would lose permission. There's also a Women Unite, there's a Men Unite and a Women Unite with Lulu's permission if you wanted to speak to someone about it. I can give out a Facebook link to the group that we're a part of, that you can speak your feelings, and it's completely private. No one on the main Facebook can see it.
Oh, I love that. Everyone, that link will be on the landing page for this episode, which will be at 10kdollarday.com/10ksaturday. Just look for Matt's lovely face. Not that you know what it looks like because you're listening on a podcast, but his name will be on the picture. And we'll have that link there for you, of course. And I will open this up to the listeners as well, because you know we talk about therapy a lot on this podcast. If you're still like, I don't know, is it for me? How did you do this? How did you know that the therapist was wrong for you? Because remember I said there was one that I just didn't connect with. How did you know they were right for you? I'd be more than happy to answer my personal experience questions. You can always email us at 10kdollarday@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at 10kdollarday. So we're always reachable. And or you could, you know, start to game and go on Twitch and go talk to Matt.
Absolutely. Follow You're Matt more than welcome there.
For sure. All right. That's so much awesome information, but we do have one more question.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Hobbs. So we end every single episode of 10K Dollar Day with our last segment, What's Your Happy? And we try to do this as a practice. It's about finding little things that make you happy, whether it's, you know, the last two times my tea bag broke in my mug and this time it was fine, or all of the lights were green on the way to work is one I use a lot, or, you know, wow, we just went out to dinner and everything happened right. You know what I mean? Like there were no problems. Mm. It was fantastic. And I got it cheaper than I thought, whatever that happy is. So Matt, what's your happy?
Can I be my happy today?
No, just what came to mind when I asked the question?
One thing. This is a small happy, but it's a massive victory. Had my driving lesson this morning, as I said to you earlier, and I had 0% anxiety by 5 minutes in. It had just dissipated, gone. And that,
what was the anxiety about in the first 5 minutes?
I think it's affecting other people, like, because you're on the road with other people, I'm scared that I might be affecting their lives, I think. But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, within 5 minutes in, my amazing driving instructor made me feel amazing. So I have had the lesson and completed more than I thought I could. So that is my happy at the moment. I had an amazing driving lesson.
You had an amazing victory. For yourself.
But yeah, personal victory. Thanks,
great.
Lulu.
I know, you were like, it's small, it's a driving lesson. No, it's big, it's a personal victory.
That's true.
It's
and
awesome.
I tell people this, like, I'm trying to need to practice what I preach. If someone said that to me, I'd be like, no, it's a big victory. But, you know, when you talk about yourself, it's very different, isn't it?
I know. Mm. See, this is the problem.
Yep.
Okay, well, now that we've all, you know, come back to the original problem, we're going to leave here. But it was so nice to have Matt here. I hope that all of you check him out. Again, you don't have to be a gamer to be on Twitch. That's what Matt just told us. So if that conversation sounds interesting to you, if you know somebody that might benefit from being around Matt and his energy, then please go on to Twitch and follow him. Is there anywhere else they can follow you, Matt, social media wise?
Yeah, on Facebook, just Pro Bear. Actually, I've changed them all recently because I'm very professional. I changed them all to just Pro Bear. So yeah, on Instagram, on TikTok, Twitter, Facebook. I pretend I'm not a boomer using TikTok. And yeah,
oh,
everywhere.
So
everywhere.
Everywhere.
Just type it in on Google.
And we're going to put that link again on 10kdollarday.com/10ksaturday. But just in case they are driving right now, they don't want to deal with it. How do you spell Pro Bear again?
I love this because I should say it more. So it's Probher. So like Pro Bear, but there's an H between the B and the A.
And it's not like bear because it's spelled the other way. Bear is E-A-R.
Oh my goodness, you are so right.
You cannot tell people that.
I've said that tagline so many times. Oh my. Do you know what the worst thing is? I'm looking at a sign of my name. I'm literally staring at it. As I say it, I'm looking at it.
So listen, everyone. It's like bear, but with an H between the B and the A, and the A and the A are switched. But other than that, it's just like bear.
Really easy to remember, right? Really easy.
Yeah. Other than that, it's totally the same.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Well, we've all learned something here today, and this is what can happen when you come together in community and have conversations, everyone. Mm. You can work through your issues that you didn't see and you were blinded about before. The scales have been wiped from his eyes. And I'm so happy we were here today. Matt, I can't wait for everyone to find you at Probher on Twitter.
Thank you. I'm so glad you spelled it right.
And everywhere. Well, everyone now will know how to spell it because
That's
they're going to take bear, flip the vowels, put the H in, and they'll be like, it's so easy.
Maybe it was really clever marketing from me. Maybe that all along, that was me just to get you to say it again. I don't know.
I mean, I've now said it 24 times. All right, everyone. Thanks for being here. We will see you on Wednesday with a brand new episode of 10K Saturday, and you'll hear Allison's voice too. And don't forget to jump on over to The Daily Happy. If you wouldn't mind, if you enjoyed this conversation, share it with a friend, especially this one. We say that a lot, but this one might open up some doors for some people that might need it. So send along, and we'll see you later. Matt, say bye.
Bye.
That was 10K Saturday with Allison and Lulu. And don't forget, with friends like us, who needs amenities?